Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. People told me that a couple of times, but praise God nevertheless. I am a child of God, and I'm happy, happy, happy that you decided to tune in on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Monday evening, one that we've never seen, one we'll never see again. And I am so grateful that you are here, and praise God that I'm here, and that we know when Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. So like I said, this is Dr. Leah Killings, Dr. Happy for some, praise God, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. And I'm excited, as you can tell, about this broadcast for tonight. And so we are called Empowered to Change, and we are through the Blog Talk Radio system. And our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower to the glory of God. And we try to do that every week to make sure that you learn something, that you're encouraged, and that you're empowered to not just learn what you and apply what you learn, but to share it with someone else. So again, our goal is to encourage. So we pray that something in the lesson will encourage you. And so I advocate that you get a piece of paper and a pencil, because you want to write down whatever God is telling you to encourage you. So you can always remember when you feel in an awkward way, you want to be encouraged. Remember what God said when he gave you the message. Not just me, praise God, speaking on tonight. And praise God, it won't be me when you be encouraged. I'm praying that the Spirit of God will encourage you. But nevertheless, you want to write it down. And then definitely, if he's going to educate us, whatever it is that God has for us on tonight, it may not be a brand new topic, but it may be something that is said that you've never heard before, that you want to study a little bit more on, so that you can be more comfortable and confident in sharing whatever it is that you've learned on tonight. Make sure you write it down so you can go back to it. We'll give quite a few scriptures, so we want to educate you. And then most importantly, we want you to be empowered. I believe the power of God wants all of us to be perfect in his will and in his way. And the only way we can do that is by reading his word, learning his word, and then being empowered by that word. And then when you make those necessary changes because you've been empowered, you'll be empowered to share it with someone else. So remember, encourage, educate, and empower. That is our goal. And so praise God, those of you that are tuned in, that this is your very, 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 very first time, I welcome you and thank you for choosing this opportunity to have a word spoken into you on tonight. Thank those that invited you, whether you dialed in or you logged in. Thank you, whether you're listening for the first time tonight or if you're listening throughout the week or throughout the month. Praise God, because you dialed in on or logged into the archives. I welcome you and thank you for tuning in. But those of you, praise God, that have been with me, I'm so excited to be able to say we're going into our ninth year. Can you believe that? 9 years on the broadcast. Amen. It's amazing. And I'm so grateful that God has made me confident in doing this, because I know that it's changing lives. It's definitely changing mine. But I thank you for those of you that have been with me for 2 weeks, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 4 months, however long. Because if you come back, amen, then you have been a return listener. And so I thank you for my dedicated listeners that come back each week to hear an inspiring word, because you give me the encouragement to keep going. You make me want to continue to educate myself on topics that I may not be completely aware of, or just be obedient to where God is leading me, to develop me so that I can learn and be able to rightly divide his word. And then most importantly, you keep me empowered, and you empower me by challenging me and helping me do things that are according to his plan and his purpose. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. And then praise God, always, always, always give a major shout out to Tammy and Bessie Stewart with the Omega Ministry Group, because praise God, if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't have known this thing was for me. Kind of laugh when they told me that I could do the radio, and I'm like, no, I like teaching, I like being in front of people, and I like showing out and doing all that crazy stuff, but me on the radio, oh no. And I panicked the first year or so because I was afraid. I didn't know if I knew enough, and then of course I was listening to the enemy telling me that I wasn't qualified. But praise God, we've showed him, right? Amen. God has given us all a plan, and that plan is for us to prosper. And so I'm grateful that you've empowered me, all of you, to help me get to this platform and then be able to say in confidence that I know who God is and that God has to be first in all of our lives. And so I make sure that we go to him in prayer before we start our lesson. So we get all the greetings out of the way, and then we go to God, and then we go to our lesson. So are you ready? You got your pen and paper? And while I'm praying, if you haven't got it, get you a piece of paper, a pencil, or a crayon, whatever you need to do to write down whatever God's going to say, because I think it's going to be a doozy. But praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for life. We thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity to do what you called us to do, and whatever that may be, Father, whatever we may need to do to get prepared, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to do so. Even, Father, when we're going in the wrong path, you give us an opportunity to correct ourselves and do the things right by allowing us to ask for forgiveness, and then you wash away that sin, and then you don't remember it. We might, praise God, but you help us to know that we have power and authority, that we can move past it because you have forgiven us and you don't hold on to it, that we have to remember the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants us to keep being reminded of those discretions. But you said no. You said you love us and that you sent your son and he died for us so that we could keep going and we could do this thing again and again and again if necessary to make sure that we get it right so that we always stand before you with clean hands and a pure heart. So, Father, we just love you and we want to tell you how much we love you on tonight. We want to thank you for giving us the wisdom and the revelation that you're going to give with us with this word on tonight. We want to make sure that we're doing what we've been called to do and that we're using the gifts and talents that you've given all of us. All of us have been given a measure of talent and gifts to use to your glory and to use to the benefit of the body. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the precious, precious gift that Jesus did by shedding his blood for us so that we can even rightly divide your word, that we can even apply your word, and that one day we can say we'll be with you forever. And so, Father, again, bless this word, bless my lips, remove me, and let you shine through this word and this lesson so that someone will have a revelation, not just information, but revelation to make the necessary changes so they can walk upright in you. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and we acknowledge you being the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can absolutely do nothing. We love you, we honor, we adore you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. And I bet those of you that know me know that I'm really excited about this lesson. Now, praise God, I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of days because I've been so excited and trying to find the right title because, you know, I like cool titles because I think they're catchy or whatever. And so I knew it had to do with mess, and I just couldn't figure out how to get it to line up right with mess. And then God gave me a whole bunch of information. And so Saturday was just download day. You know, he was just pouring. A girlfriend of mine told me, Lee, you need to turn the TV off and get in the Word. And I was like, but I love my TV. How about y'all? My TV went out. Can you believe it? And so I'm still trying to watch it, all the color, and I got to get a new TV. And so she's like, Leah, maybe it's time to turn it off and do it. So I had no choice. So I've been reading and studying and trying to finish my book, and it's just been amazing. When you really spend time with the Word of God, how he really will just download all this information and stuff that I've seen. And I did seminary school, and so we had to read the Bible from cover to cover. And so I realized that I didn't quite do the assignments to the best of my ability. I did just enough to get by. And so God reminds me, see, you did that for man. You didn't do that for me. You were doing that for a grade. You weren't doing that for me. And so now when I read, I try to make sure that I read so that I can get a better understanding, because I want to make the necessary change. And that's why I'm empowering you to make sure that when you read the word, try to make sure that you're asking God for revelation. And that's why it's so important for us to pray before we start the word, before we do anything that's dealing with him, because we want to make sure that we make the necessary changes, because we want to be upright. You know, we wear these signs and what would Jesus do and all that good stuff. But then when it comes time to do it, we don't do it. So let's figure out a way to do it. And so for a sake of a topic, like I said, I wanted to deal with mess. And so praise God, mess means so much, but we're going to talk about it in a second. So the title, if you will, is Are You Standing in Mess? And so for those of you that know me, know I love definitions. I'm a teacher at heart, and so I love, love, love definitions. And even when I know what the word means, I still look it up because I want to make sure that I have exactly what God is trying to make sure that I have. So the first part of the statement of this title is, are you standing? And so if we look up the word standing, standing has two directions, or two parts, if you will, because it has a noun definition and it also has an adjective definition. So for the noun, standing means a position, a status, or reputation. Another definition is it's used to specify the length of time that something has lasted or someone has fulfilled a particular role. Now, I like that, and we're going to use that in a second. But the adjective aspect of it, and that describes the verb, describes the action, is performed from a rest or upright position without a run-up or the use of a starting block. So I'll wait and do that. Okay, remaining in force or use permanent. I'm getting ahead of myself. Can you tell I'm excited? Okay, so we know what standing means. So pretty much, are you standing in mess? But just off the top means, are you standing in? So let's define mess. Mess is a dirty or untidy state of things or place, a situation or state of affair that is confused or full of difficulties. Now, that's the noun version. It also has two parts. It also can be used as a verb to describe something, to make dirty or untidy, to take one's meals, and sometimes we use this definition in the armed forces, to take one's meal in a particular place or a particular person with, like I said, the deals with the armed forces. And then if my daughter's listening, paying attention, you could take your meal to her messy room. Amen. But never mind. We're going to talk about mess. We're going to talk about standing, because are you standing in a mess? Now, when we talk about standing, sometimes we can talk about as a standing as it relates to a status or a ranking. And so I like the definition that it said, a status with respect to ranking, reputation, position, society, or professional, a high reputation, esteem, or a person standing in the community, like the mayor or whatever. But for tonight, when we talk about are you standing in the mess, we're going to use it in the form of kind of pretty much what it means. But the mess is not dirt. We're talking about things that we have. We can use mess in a noun form or in the verb. Are we making it dirty or is it already dirty? And we're talking about, are you standing in the mess of your finances? Are you standing in the mess of your education? Are you standing in the mess of relationships? Have you made relationships messy? That could be your friends, that could be your family, that could be your marriage, that could be how you're raising your children, and then it could be with your goals and your dreams. Are you standing in a mess? Have you made a mess of one of those topics? And I'm sure there's others that you could think of. And as you're writing and as you're listening and as God is pouring into you, whatever your situation is, write it down. What are you standing in that you've made a mess of, or it become a mess and you're standing in it? Now, I know right this moment, praise God, I'm in a messy room, and so I know I got to clean it up. And so oftentimes, and this is not the case for tonight because I did clear off my desk. So, but normally when you're in a messy environment, you can't think clearly. You're not able to function properly. And so sometimes when we're in messy situations, it clouds our judgment. It clouds our vision or our focus or even our hearing what God is actually telling us, because we've gotten, to me, I like to add confusion. Confusion can be messy. And so when we are in a mess and we're standing, and remember, standing is we have a status or a position. We're not moving. We're stuck. And so the coolest thing about standing, most times if you can stand, you can take a step. You may not can walk a whole lot, but if you're standing, you can make a step. And so my encouragement for you tonight is to figure out how to make a step out of the mess that you've gotten yourself in. Now, one of the things that I think that I believe God really wants us to focus on tonight is not necessarily like the finances and the education and the relationships and all that stuff, but goals and dreams. I believe that's where God wants us to understand. What have we made a mess of that we're not pursuing the goals and dreams that God has planted in our hearts? Now, one of the things that I love about goals and dreams, because it was a time that I thought that I could just think of something and then go lay down and believe that, I won't make my dreams come because that's what I want to dream about, because that's the thought that I put in my head. But I'm not talking about those kind of dreams, because most times those dreams are out of a mess, because it's out of lust and all the kind of stuff that we shouldn't be thinking about and taking to bed when we go to sleep. I'm talking about the kind of goals and dreams that God plants in our heart. Psalms 20:4 says, may he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Psalms 33:11 says, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. And then Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord what you do, and he will establish your plans. So when we're thinking about the plans and the goals and the dreams, and many times when we grow up with the same goals and the same dreams, those are goals that God has planted in your heart. Remember, he said he had a plan and a purpose for us in Jeremiah, and that he wants us to succeed. And so if those goals and those dreams that are in your heart that you have planted, God planted there, he wants them to come to fruition. And so in order for them to come to fruition, you're going to have to do your part. And so in order for you to do your part, you have to follow the plan that he has for you. And if you don't plan to follow the plan that he has for you, then praise God, they won't come to fruition. And so one of the things that I love, love, love about God, and I love understanding and reading through his word, he shares that he gives us gifts and talents so that we can accomplish those goals and dreams that he plants in our hearts. But the key is what do we do with them? And so tonight, I want you to write down, what are your goals and dreams that you've been wanting to do that you haven't done? Things that you know in your heart that God has laid in your heart to do. And then, because God said that he'll give us the desires of our heart, write down some of the things that you really want to get done. And so I know for me, one of my long-term goals, and maybe it may not be long anymore because God has fixed it, because I'm being obedient and I'm doing the things that he's called me to do. And so he's made a way that now I'm doing water therapy and I'm doing physical therapy and I have a chiropractor. And so I really want to do an excursion kayaking. I want to be able to kayak somewhere and then park my boat and pitch a tent and then sleep overnight and cook my food and then pack up and then get back in my kayak and come back home. Now, of course, I don't want to do this by myself, but eventually I would love to be able to, but I know that I have so much trauma and damage to my neck and my upper body that I don't have the upper body strength to pick up an oar, let alone row one. And definitely, I can't swim, so I ain't trying to get in nobody's kayak by myself to be going nowhere. So, but God has provided an opportunity for now that I'm doing this therapy, I'm building up my upper body strength. And then found out today that the place that I'm going teaches swim lessons. Go figure. God is working those things out. So he said, whatever those desires and dreams that I have in my heart, if you're obedient and you follow his plan, he will make those things come to fruition. And so if I just continue to follow the course, praise God, he'll do that. So write down whatever it is that you want to do, that you believe that not only that you have placed in your heart, but some of the things that you might want to do. Of course, make sure that they're right. Amen. Amen. I would love to be able to do the little pole thing because that takes upper body strength, but that's not one of my goals. If it happened, amen, but that's not one of my goals. But you know what I'm trying to say. So when you talk about your goals, examine your motives about the goals that you have. And what do I mean by examine? That means really think it through. Is this something that's very reasonable that I can do? Can I actually do this? Now, pole vaulting and running over hurdles. I ran track for 8 years more than 8 years because I did middle school, high school, and college. And I always wanted to run the hurdles, but I wasn't tall enough. And so no matter how much I wanted to, there was no way possible. I can't even make a vertical jump to get over a hurdle. So some dreams and some goals are not necessarily feasible. So you have to examine, are these goals realistic that you're writing down that you really want to accomplish? And then you got to test your heart before you start that particular journey. If you really believe that you can be a professional basketball player, and you can't get your rhythm down in dribbling, that's probably not really in your heart. It's probably something that you enjoy watching, so it could be a passion or a hobby, but it's not something that's necessarily that you can possibly do. So you got to test and you got to examine the motives that you have around that particular goal or dream. And then you have to do three things. And I want you to make sure you remember these three things. You have to ask, you have to answer, and you have to act. Now, you ask, and ask means to say something in order to obtain an answer or some information. So now, whatever that goal is, ask. Inquire, you know, Google is thebomb.com. You can put whatever you want in there and they'll give you everything you could possibly need to help you figure out answers about whatever it is that you're looking for, about whatever task that you may be trying to do. If you want to become a teacher, if you want to go back to school to be an engineer or whatever your situation may be, you have to ask the right questions. And so in my study of this, Andy Stanley, he said that there are good decisions and then there are bad decisions. And then the good decisions may not be necessarily bad decisions, but they're just not wise decisions. And so we have to make sure that when we're doing our examining through our asking, I probably wouldn't ask anybody about kayaking to a librarian unless I'm looking for a book or something that she's giving. She probably couldn't tell me where to buy my oars or what's the best boat unless she refers to something else. So be careful in what you're asking and who you ask, because you want to make sure that you ask the right questions. And then the most important person to ask is God. Lord, is this something that you really want me to pursue? Because praise God, we don't know God and his timing. Again, I'll be 55 in a couple of days. Amen. And so who would have thought at 55 that I would be able to go kayaking? You know, that's something I should have done in my 20s and my 30s when my joints were really, really mobile and I didn't have all this other stuff going on. And then I have a lot more stuff that I'm responsible for. And so I have to be careful. And so when in examining, my daughter probably mad at me for telling this story too. She went on this excursion. And she's like, Mommy, we can go. It's to clean up the river. And everybody will have their own kayak. And they'll have people on there that can help us. And I'm like, but are they lifeguards? I mean, are these people going to make sure that we don't fall in? And if our canoe flips over, they're going to save us? I mean, how many people on this trip can swim? And she's like, well, because I know you can't swim, and I know I can't swim, so I'm not getting any cake. But she's like, don't worry, we could do it. And I thought, no, we can't. I'm not doing that. And so, but she did it. And it made me so angry because I thought, who does it? Who gets in the kayak, can't swim, and going down the river? None of these people are with the expectation of saving you because they're going to clean the river. And so, praise God, Lord, you got to fix this because she's doing it anyway. I don't understand. And the people she's going with can't swim either. I'm so confused. I'm not understanding. And so the whole way, and then I thought about, why am I driving her? But I wanted to see to make sure that I could make sure I examined this situation because I couldn't believe that she felt so confident that God was just going to save her. Now, remember I said we make good decisions, but they may not be wise decisions. And so praise God, because of prayer, constant prayer, the people said, because you guys can't swim, we'll just put you in the center and we'll work around y'all so y'all can't go and clean up. You just coming along. So I was grateful God, you know, stepped in. But we want to make sure that we go to God first. We got to ask him, Lord, is this feasible for me to do this? Does this make sense? Is this wise? And remember, he said he gives wisdom. So now she can't do that until she learns how to swim. Amen. But we want to make sure that we do things that are within the realms of what we know that we're comfortable in and that we can use the wisdom of God. And then if he gives us the pilot, then praise God, we know that we have our answer. What is an answer? An answer is a thing said, written, or done, or dealt with, or a reaction to a question, statement, or a situation. Many times we are not patient enough and we don't wait for God to give us an answer. We're going to answer it ourselves. And that's how we err sometimes, especially when it comes to our goals and our dreams. And so when we don't necessarily know how to ask the right questions, then many times we'll get the wrong answer, or we'll create an answer that we want, and many times that's not right. And so even when we go back to talking about a mess, we can create a mess because we're answering questions to things that we're not qualified for, and we're not asking the right people. And sometimes we ask the wrong people because we want the answer that we want. And then, of course, it ends up being what? A mess. And so you're standing in a mess. So we want to make sure that we examine our motives, test our heart before we start any journey on accomplishing goals and dreams, that we want to make sure that we ask the right questions, that we get the right answers, and then, praise God, take action. So that's ask, answer, act. We want to make sure that we take action. Act means to do something, to behave in a specified way. So how do we do that? Praise God, we take the information that we have, and then usually the answer gives us other resources to study, to make sure that we are doing what we need to do and have what we need to have, and we're with the right people, and that we're doing the things that God has called us to do. So when we get to our scripture, I want to mainly talk about the reason why many times when we accomplish goals and dreams, because that's what we're referring to most of this, we make a mess of our goals and dreams, and especially the things that God gave us, is because we don't use the things that God has given. So James 1:17 says, tells us that every gift comes from God, and we have different talents and God-given gifts, but they are all important and can be used for God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12, now we're talking about Paul now, and he compares the individual of the body of Christ to the different parts of the body. So what does that mean? So God considers all of us part of one body. And so if my goals and my dreams line up, then the person that God connects me to, our gifts and our talents should complement each other. And so when we do that, praise God, we're making up the body for the community that we're in. And I don't know, sometimes I often think about, you know, Lord, you knew exactly, and I said this last week when I was sharing how when God gave the invitation to share at a good friend's brother's funeral service, a homegoing celebration, was, you know, isn't it odd how God knew exactly what family to put us in? You know, your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles, and sometimes we question, you know, well, I don't know how they got in our family, but nevertheless, God puts us in the communities that we're supposed to be in so that we can affect change when he gives us the gifts and talents that we have to use for his glory and his purpose. But when we don't use them, then that community suffers and it's not part of the body. And that's how we end up in mess. And so God wants us to make sure that when we ask, when we answer, get our answer, and when we act, we're doing it according to the plan of God because he has the ultimate plan. Yes, we have goals and dreams that we should be acting on that he places in our hearts. And like I said, sometimes those things that we may discover or be exposed to, he'll allow us to have some of those dreams and those wants. But if they don't line up to his will, then praise God, it doesn't fit in the I call it puzzle pieces that God has designed for you. You have to fit where he places you. And so that's why he gave you the gifts that he gave you, and why he gave me the gifts and the talents that he gave me, because it fits his master plan. And so it was interesting. I was telling a friend of mine that we're writing our books together, that I met this gentleman today, and I can't remember how the subject came up, but he was saying, that it was my last name. He said, killings, wow. He said, have you killed many people? And I said, kill them for kindness. And he said, well, he said, isn't there something? He said, the world is all about, you know, just horrible stuff. And he said, the Bible says that we're made in God's image, so God must be a horrible person. I said, oh, why would you say it like that? And he said, well, he said in his word that we're made in his image, and so if people are stealing and killing and lying and cheating, and then God must be that. And I said, well, did you forget that God said he gave us choice? We have free will. We can make those decisions. And you know, whether good or bad, you know, we make those decisions. That doesn't have anything to do with we're made in his image. And he said, yeah. He said, I don't believe in that either. And I said, you don't believe in free will? He's like, no. He said, there's something up with that. And I said, well, was it your goal and dream to work at UPS? And he's like, no. I said, so you chose to work here, right? And he said, well, yeah, but that's different. I said, no. And I said, what you have on, you chose to put that on, right? I said, God, I don't believe that God wears a UPS uniform, but you chose that, right? And he's like, no. See, you, that's not what I'm saying. I said, well, tell me what you're saying so I can understand what you're saying. I said, because free will, we choose. I said, just as he said, well, he said, you know, all the bad stuff. And I said, well, you do believe the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, no. He said, I don't believe that. I said, but you said that you read the word. And he said, well, I know the word. And in that moment, in that instant, God reminded me, the devil knows the Bible. And so just because people say that they read the Bible don't mean they believe it. And so it's hard for me to believe that he knew the Bible and still felt the way that he felt. And so I was trying to minister to him, but somebody called him away, of course. And so he went in the back. And so I went and picked up my food, and I went back to look for him. And there was a lady standing. And I said, can I talk to that gentleman that was here? And she said, no. I was like, wow, Lord. So, I mean, it gave me an opportunity to see. You got to take advantage of every opportunity. I shouldn't have left until I made sure that at least he was comfortable or gave him a outlet where he could call to ask questions, because if he really felt that way. And then I had to remember, too, you know, maybe that wasn't my assignment. Maybe it was my assignment just to say what I said to make him think a little bit more about if he believed, he didn't believe in free choice, but he made all those decisions, he chose those decisions. So nevertheless, it's interesting that many of us make decisions when we answer our own questions. We do them based on our own understanding. And that's why the word says that we're not to lean to our own understanding, we're to trust him, and that he will direct our path and he will give us a better understanding. And that's why I said it's so important for us to write things down when God says things to us, because at one point in time in our lives, we're going to have to give an account for those things. And that's what brings us to the main scripture of this lesson, is the parable of the bag of gold. And so that's found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And so I'm going to read them very quickly, because I have a bunch of other things that I want to share before we run out of time. But it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Remember, we're going on our journey, trying to find our golden dream, who called his servant and entrusted his wealth to them. He gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more bags. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the one who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received five bags of gold brought him another five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. Yes, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you trusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been blessed with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you had you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and when you went out, I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seeds. Well, then, you shall have put my money on deposit with other bankers, so that I, when I return, I would at least receive it back with interest. So take the bag of gold. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they have been taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where he will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was Matthew 25:14-30. So now, the coolest thing to me, where I kind of got this mess thing from, was I heard this scripture read a couple weeks ago. And she said, can you imagine? She said, this man was digging the ground. Everybody else had, you know, multiplied their gold and returned it back to the master. And they were probably clean, sharp, nice, because they wanted to make sure they presented to the master clean hands, pure heart. And here this man come that put his in the ground. He came to God dirty. How many of us would be that person going to God dirty? Because we're going to dig up trying to find the gifts and talents that he gave us, and we never used them. Saints, we got to use the goals, the gifts and the talents and the goals and the dreams that God has placed in our heart and bring them to fruition. Or when we stand before him, we're going to go before him dirty. And that's the mess that I'm talking about. Do you want to be a mess when it's your turn to stand before God and he asks, what did you do with the gifts and talents I gave you? Are you going to be able to say, to affirm on that dirt, and nobody stole my gift because I ain't let nobody see it. I hid it. Are you going to say, Lord, I was so grateful for what you gave me. You know, I sang beautiful songs. I had gold records. I had platinum records. I had Emmys and Grammys, but whatever they give to. I led so many people to Christ because of all the songs I sang about you, or whatever your gifts and talents may be. Or are you going to say, Lord, you know, they didn't appreciate my gifts, so I ain't showing it to nobody. I'm not doing that. I'm going to hide my stuff because they don't deserve it, you know. They're going to take advantage of it anyway. Somebody going to steal it and use it. It is so comical when I hear people say that to me about, you know, the stuff that God has given them, and then they don't want to share it because somebody's going to steal it. Can you believe they took my idea? I think God gave it to you for you to share. They ain't stealing my stuff. And I remember when I was at the past church that I was at years ago, and I love teaching, and so I would always develop lesson plans, and I would give them to people. And one of the elders was like, "Hey, you got to put your name on that stuff because people take that and they can sell that." And then, you know, and I was like, "Okay," and he's like, "No, but that's yours." And I'm like, "Well, you know, if God gave it to me and they're blessed by it, okay, I don't get caught up in that. Plus, it ain't mine." And so what? I mean, to some things, amen, we should have copyrights and all that kind of stuff. But then again, amen, most of us borrow from the Webster Dictionary because none of the words that we speak, and not even the words I'm speaking to that, are words I created. I got them from somewhere. And just like everything we do, we get from somewhere. We're inspired from other things. And so when we get so caught up about it being mine, and then because now you're mad because somebody stole my idea. Well, if God gave it to you, trust, he can give it to you again. And so my daughter told me this thing the other day that was so cool to me. She said they can use your recipe, but the sauce won't taste the same. And I thought that is really cool. So you can have the same recipe, but it won't taste the same because something you do is unique to you. And so we got to know that if God gave us a gift and a talent and somebody masters it, somebody uses it. My girlfriend told me, because praise God, I had a little motivation because I felt, you know, was I taken advantage of? You know, wasn't it kind of used? Because they're still using my stuff. And she's like, that wasn't yours. I was like, no, I didn't mean it that way, because, I mean, I know. She's like, but think about it. She said, what is your favorite scripture? Your favorite scripture is, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, and that fruit will remain. And she said, your fruits are remaining, and they're multiplying, and they're blessing people, and they're helping people. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I ain't going to trip no more about nothing.
And so it's like, no, we got to let that go. Our gifts and our talents are to be shared. They are not to be hid in the ground and to be waiting. And the whole point to me was when he said to the master, you know, you hadn't scattered these seeds nowhere. Well, that's the whole point. God wants us to plant seeds. To plant seeds in the man at the UPS store that believes that, you know, God is made in the image of a murderer. Are you kidding me? That had to be correct. I could have just like, and kept walking. But no, it was meant for me to say something. No, that's not how my God, no. We have choices. And we choose the murder. We choose the love. No, no. Even Michael Jackson knew, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I mean, come on, we choose to do what we do. And so we got to make sure that when we're doing those things that God has told us to do, to be obedient. Now, I know I don't have much time, and I probably shouldn't waste it on this brother, but I'm going to. A couple of weeks ago, there was a major, major thing about this minister, Pastor Todd, I think it was his name. He hawked and spit in the hands and put it on somebody's face, and everybody was flabbergasted and mad and angry, whatever. And so I thought about it, because the very first time I read the story, the first thing I thought about was Jesus sitting somebody in dirt and put it on somebody's eyes, and he could see. And I'm like, Lord have mercy, when I couldn't see, anybody could have hawked and spit. You could have threw up on me and maybe going to get my eyes to open again and see. Amen. Go at it. Praise God. But it was so interesting to me how that story got so much attention, and I thought, could it have been? That's what God wanted. Because who are they talking about? They're talking about him. And what did he do? He did something that I'm not sure, I can't say, but just for me, if God told him to do that, then he was being obedient. And then whoever he did that to, God had to know to put the right person there. But now I'm curious to know, because the stories have never said what the brother, what happened to him. Was he delivered? Was he set free? Why did he do what he did? I never got that part of the story. I just heard about how gross that was that he did that. But I thought, if God actually told him to do that, if God needs to wake us up because we got people at UPS believing that God is a murderer and a thief and a robber and a killer and all that, could it be God wanted a supernatural miracle to happen with something super nasty in order for folks' eyes to be really open to see that he can use spit? If he can use dirt and he can use a dirty bird and he can use a donkey, I mean, surely there's nothing wrong with spit. If it's going to heal somebody, the way I feel sometimes, as bad as I hurt, if that man was really, really moved by God and he told him to spit on my back, hawk, spit, green, it didn't matter what color would it be, I'd have bent over for him to lay hands on me. So we can't knock everything so quickly and jump to what the media says, because the enemy wants us to downplay the gifts of God. Now, I'm not saying that that's what happened, so please don't quote me on that. I'm just saying, what if that really was God? And then the thing that I think disturbed me the most was, a couple of days ago, my daughter said she read, I didn't read this, but she said, he apologized. And I thought, if he really believed God told him to do that, why would he apologize? And the thing that I think bothered me the most was the scripture I remember. If you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And so if God, he believed God told him, he should have stood on his ground and said, it may not be wise to you, but the man that gives wisdom, the man that looks high and looks low, the man that can move mountains by blinking, he told me to do that, and I did it, and I can stand in my conviction and know that God has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. He told me to do it, I did it. Amen. I wouldn't have bowed to the license of social media. Cancel me, because I know you can't cancel me when I play that song in the beginning when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. So if your goals and your dreams and the things that God tells you to do will cause pause for other people, and you pause and you be like that man and you hide your gifts and your talent, you'll show up dirty. And then again, what are you saying to God? Lord, I can't do that because I'm ashamed of what the people will say. No, you don't want God to be ashamed of you. You want to stand in your conviction and know that when you hear from God and you know you hear from God, it don't matter what people say. It don't bother me. when people gave me a hard time. Me and my friend was talking about that. When I homeschool my daughters, I mean, I got grief. Oh, and I'm not even going to talk about nursing my babies. But I know what God told me to do, and I did it. And it was better for them, not for the people around me. It was better for them. You got to do what God tells you to do, no matter what other people might say or what they might think or what they might do. God will cover you because you're being obedient to him. And so my challenge to each of us is that those of us that we know that God has given us gifts and talents and we're sitting on them, and they don't have to be singing and they don't have to be dancing and all the stuff that we think are gifts and talents. I have a volleyball friend, praise God. I mean, you give her anything and she can find who the original writer was. I mean, she's so organized with all of her administrative stuff. I know that she's gifted in that. I have another friend that told me to turn TV off. It irritates her so much when people just do dumb things, but it's because she has a gift of wisdom. And she, I mean, I don't know if she practices that or really understands how gifted she is in that area. I mean, she sees things before. I mean, she can see the whole beginning, middle, and end before it happens. And it's simple to her. And it's like, oh, I didn't see it that way. And so she's a blessing to me because, again, God puts us in companies of people that build up our gifts, build up our talents, help us to see things differently so that we can maximize our gifts and talents with theirs. And can you imagine if we really were all in one accord, what we would really do to this system? We wouldn't have people dependent on vaccinations and Dr. Fauci and all these things. We would really be dependent on God. We would come together, and I believe the scripture says we're two people. But if 2,000, 200,000, 300,000 people come together, do you know we could stomp out COVID and everything, every version of it? But why? It's because we're not asking the right questions. We're not looking to the right person to get the answers. And we're definitely not acting. We're not acting on the information that God has freely given. How many of us are really, really, honestly reading the word on our own? Or we just, Leah, what was that scripture you said again so I can go back and read that scripture? Or are we really asking God, Lord, what do you want me to read? Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to deposit a few dollars to make them feel happy? Who do you want me to pay their bill for the month? I mean, are we asking God those questions? Or are we just keeping our gifts, keeping our talents in the ground, in the bank, in our purse, in our glass houses, because all of us have glass houses, praise God. You know, some of them are bigger than others, but we all have glass houses because God said that we'll know people by their fruit. We can see in your house, we see. And so we see that you hiding and you're not using the gifts and talents that you have. My challenge and my charge to you today to find out what is your purpose. All of us have one. And get to find it and answering the right questions and allow God to let your gifts and talents be used so that you can maximize what God has called you to do so you can help the community that God has put you in so that you can be the fruit in a dying world that needs to hear the word of God. They need to know who we are. They need to know where to go when they're having problems and when they're having concerns. What's her name? Regina King. I can't remember her last name, but her son committed suicide. That hurt me. And it hurt me not because she was hurt, but it hurt me that he's been crying out for a while, and who was close enough to hear him but wasn't really paying attention? How about most of the kids in this generation that are crying out that we're not paying attention to because we're too busy on our phones, and we're too busy on TikTok and Snapchat and Scoop Boxes and Flashbox. I don't even know all the social media platforms. Don't even know how to log on most of them. But nevertheless, we are so preoccupied that we're not paying attention, and we're not using our gifts and talents to maximize the real gifts and purpose that God has in our lives to really lead people back to him. It is our responsibility to do what God has called us to do. You got to ask the right questions. And most of them you need to ask him for. And then if you don't understand, because I'm good, Lord, I mean, I don't hear you. I mean, for real, can you just tell somebody else, a real person, as my friend said, a person with skin on them, and let them tell me, because I can't hear you, Lord. I really can't. I need you to tell somebody else, or let it come on the radio or TV, something, so that I can really understand. Ask, and it will be given. I mean, without measure, I mean, he wants to liberally bless us. He wants to. He has all these blessings for us, but we're not in the right place to receive them because we haven't asked the right questions. We're not looking for the right answers. And then when we get them, we don't act on them. So find out, write down, what are the things that you know that you need to pursue God for? And then when God gives you the answer, then figure out how to act on it. You may need to ask somebody to help me act on this. I don't know how to write this book. I don't know how to get started. Can you help me? I don't know how to publish my book. I don't even know how to do the measures and how to line the book. I mean, but people know, and they will help you. And God will lead you to those people if you ask. So ask. Do what he tells you and gives you the answer, and then act on it. Amen. I could keep talking, but you know I'm out of time. Never out of talk, but I am out of time. But I want to make sure that I shared the scriptures that I gave so you can at least start from there. Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you. Praise God. Plan for you to prosper. Look it up. Read it. Get it to your memory. James 1:17, it says that God gave us all different talents, but they all came from him. It's important that we use them. The main scripture that we came from was with the talents was in the gifts was Matthew 25:14-30. And then there's several other versions in the other gospels that kind of give the same scenario. And then we talk from Psalms 20:4, God will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 33:11, God's plans are firm for you. Amen. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Amen. I mean, there's so many scriptures. Just Google, and God will help you find where you need to be and be where you need to be. Amen. Well, like I said, I'm out of time, and I got to make sure that I always play my granny song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And so my girlfriend also wants to hear it, because she said that if I don't play it all, she has her own song booted up that she can play it for herself. But praise God. I'm going to get off in a moment so we can play the full song. But, Granny, I know you're listening because you're my favorite listener, and I know I'm your number one fan, so praise God, because you call me Princess. Amen. And for those of you, if you remember, it's my birthday on Wednesday. I plan to thrive in 55. Amen. So you in God, because last year I stepped out, and amen, I stepped in the wrong Kool-Aid. So y'all pray that I do right this year for my birthday. I keep God first. Amen. But, yeah, make sure that you remember that you have goals, you have gifts, you have talents, and God placed them in your heart for a reason, and you can accomplish them. You just have to go to him, ask him, and then when you get the answer, act on it. Amen. So remember, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And remember to always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.
Let me hear the worshipers! Every praise.
God.
My God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and give it praise.